When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. With me, as always, is Charles W. Chuck Bryant. Flying by the seat of our pants, right, Chuckers?
Speaking of flying, you're like, let's go, I gotta go to New York.
Yeah.
It's your birthday tomorrow.
It is.
Happy birthday. This will be after the fact, of course.
I can't believe you're bringing this up.
So you got a little birthday trip planned. That's very nice.
You mean taking me to New York?
Nothing like a weekend in New York to
celebrate
anything.
I'm very excited about it.
Cool.
I'm giddy.
Well, you should be.
Yeah. And we were just in New York. But
where
it wasn't
staying?
Quite the same. Yumi didn't come with, did she?
No.
We are staying at a friend's place.
Oh, okay.
Fortunately, we have some friends in Brooklyn.
At, should you say his name?
At Adam's?
Yeah, at Adam's house.
Okay. At Adam's.
Cool. Tell Adam I said hello.
Yeah, I will. Adam and Serena's now.
Oh, well, good for them.
This is a lot of info. Might as well give out their address, social security number, that kind of thing.
Right.
Chuck, we should probably get started, right?
Yeah, let's do it.
You enjoy a good sweat, right?
That has been determined.
You know about sweating.
Actually, I hate a good. I hate a good sweat.
Do
it
you?
Plagues me.
I wouldn't call it plague. I think you have it under control.
Yeah. I mean, if I'm in the steam room, I love a good sweat, or the sauna.
Yes.
That's when you're supposed to sweat.
I like it too. I don't like it. I don't like it either. I'm totally with you. Like, this summer's been particularly hot down here in Atlanta.
Awful.
I don't know if you noticed, and like. I'm at this point, there's this boiling point, I guess, that I've been hovering around for like the last 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Where like if I think about it, I can make sweat just like burst out from under my pecs.
It's so awful.
And like all over my stomach, there's like a sweat trail, a horizontal one that I constantly have. I'm getting like skin tags probably.
Right. And then if you get the nerves, you get both kinds of sweat, which we'll talk about.
Yeah, because there's two different kinds of sweat glands. Do you want to just talk about sweating first and then go into this?
Yeah.
Okay.
How about that?
Let's do that, Chuck. There's, you know, the average person has like 4 million sweat glands all over their body. You have like 8.
I buy that.
Right? And they're divided into two types.
Eccrine and porcine?
Close.
Eccrine and apocrine?
Yeah. Epocrine.
Epocrine.
Eccrine and apocrine.
Yeah, I think crine.
You say, you know.
Yeah, don't sing that.
So, they are both sweat glands, and you would think that you'd have, you know, like they'd all provide one function. They don't. You would be wrong.
That's right.
So, eccrine sweat glands, I think, are more predominant. I think there's more of them.
Yeah, because they cool you down?
Yes. That's what they're charged with is
they don't cool me down, or else actually I don't know, maybe
do.
I'd be like really really hot if
you
I
would
didn't
be
sweat
dead.
Like I did.
You would be dead. Your thermostat is set high, and it's your hypothalamus, by the way,
yeah,
that controls your body temperature, right?
Mm-hmm.
It gets messages, say from like your skin,
right,
that things are hot, and your hypothalamus is like, oh well, I better activate the eccrine sweat glands.
And humidity, I reckon too, because that's what kills me.
Well, humidity kills you because it keeps you from sweating.
Not me, man.
No, it does. It kills you. It keeps you from cooling off, I should say.
Oh, it keeps the sweat from evaporating.
Sweat is, yeah, so okay. So it's like gets backed up.
Yeah, but it can be like 60 degrees and humid, and mm-hmm. I'll sweat.
Yeah. The worst is when you get out of a shower and you start sweating immediately.
Oh, like you go to the gym and the shower didn't take.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Man.
I think that's a Seinfeld reference, too, actually.
Is it?
Yeah, George.
Okay.
He had a shower that didn't take.
Yeah, okay. That rings a bell.
Yeah, so, I'll take an ice-cold shower after the gym, and it's still
just
sweat.
Well, it takes a little while for your hypothalamus to be like, oh, okay, it's cooled down.
Yeah.
Right? So your hypothalamus, if it detects that your body temperature is getting too high mm-hmm. and needs to cool down, it sends a message to your eccrine sweat glands that says, start sweating, boys. And it's a different type of sweat that you're sweating than the stuff that comes out of the apocrine glands, right?
Yeah, it's mostly salty salt water, basically.
Yeah.
Or water and salts. But mixed together, you have salt water.
And electrolytes.
Yeah.
Have you seen Idiocracy?
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
You didn't like it, you said.
No, I thought it was good to a point, but the one joke premise movie kind of got stale for me.
I liked it.
But yeah, okay.
But we did manage to work a movie into a sweat
That's
podcast.
Right.
The other kind, Chuck, is apocrine.
Yes. And that is usually in the... is it usually in the face?
The face.
Axilla and breast, like just period, or with this condition?
That's where it's most heavily concentrated.
Period.
Yes.
Okay, and the axilla is under the armpit.
Yes, that is your armpit.
Well, yeah.
Your axilla.
Yeah, it's not under the armpit.
No.
There's nothing under the armpit.
No, it's just dead space there.
That's right.
Remember when we talked about deodorant versus antiperspirant?
Yes.
Classic SYSK episode?
Boy, that's a long time ago.
Yeah, it was. Well, we talked about sweat then, too, and apocrine sweat glands produce the kind of sweat that makes you stink, right?
Right.
So if it's just salt and water coming out of your eccrine sweat glands, that's not going to smell.
Sweaty palms, they're not going to stink.
Right. No, they don't.
You know, there's hyperhidrosis, period, but then some people get it so bad in their hands, you know, they have surgery.
Yeah, well, that's as far as we've ever progressed with the treatment of sweating, of any kind of sweat problems.
It's like destroying the sweat gland?
Removing them, getting rid of them altogether. Or, yeah, going in with like a laser, like pew-pew.
Yeah, I don't get the palms. It's my head and face, which is an awesome place to sweat.
Well, your palms are very hairy. I imagine if they weren't, they would.
Oh boy,
they would be far sweatier. Okay, so with the apocrine sweat glands, you're sweating out water. That's the vehicle that's actually moving the stuff, like fats, the waste byproducts of metabolism. Just basically, it's a way to evacuate stuff from your cells. It's a disposal system.
Yeah, it sounds gross, though, when you say fats and wastes.
Right, well.
Coming through your skin.
Yes, and those don't stink in and of themselves. It's the bacteria on your skin, the local flora?
Mm-hmm.
No, the local fauna that eats those fats and then creates the stink as excrement. So you stink because of bacteria excrement. That's what that is.
Yeah.
So you've got both of these, and both of them are capable of a condition, a very, very strange condition, called chrome hydrosis.
I'd never heard of this. And I thought I knew everything about sweating. And the reason I didn't know anything about it is because it is really, really, really rare.
Yes.
Like, well, this is the alien hand syndrome of bodily fluids, I would say.
Yeah, of sweating, at least.
Of sweating.
There's a lot of weird bodily fluids going on.
Syndromes.
Yeah.
This is when, drum roll, although you know the title, is when your sweat is colored.
Yeah.
And I thought I had it bad. But
no,
at least
can
I'm
you
not
imagine?
Sweating green.
That's really what it is. This condition, chrome hydrosis, is painless. It doesn't lead to any other conditions.
It's benign.
It's totally benign.
Yeah.
It's strictly embarrassing. It's debilitating, I imagine. You can't wear certain clothes. You certainly can't wear white because all of a sudden, like, you have two large orange circles where your nipples are.
Yeah, because that's one place where especially the apocrine version takes place is very typically under the armpit and at the breast.
Right, and one of the reasons why you can remember that apocrine sweat glands are around your nipples because they are eventually converted into cells that deliver milk when you're lactating.
Right.
Well, not you. But, you know.
I told you I had a friend that lactated a guy.
That's right, you did. So apocrine can turn into lactating cells.
Right.
That's why they're around the nipple, right?
Yes. And apocrine, if you have this form of chrome hydrosis, you will sweat yellow, green, blue, black, or brown.
Yes. And why?
Specifically. Because the culprit here is something called lipofuscin.
I don't know if it's lipofuscin or lipofuscin. It's like lipid, like fat.
Yeah.
It's a type of fat that's been oxidized.
Yeah, and it produces
it changes
a pigment.
Color. Yeah.
And there you have it. I mean, it's pretty simple, actually.
Yeah, mystery solved.
Mm-hmm.
So if you come to your physician and say, hey, man, why are my nipples orange, producing orange sweat, or blue, or green, or yellow?
Yeah.
He's going to say, I have a pretty strong idea that it's apocrine chrome hydrosis.
I would say right away. That
yeah.
would be my. I saw the orange lady. Did you see her? I saw a PowerPoint someone had
the
done.
Nurse?
Was she a nurse? Was
no,
she the
I
orange?
No, I guess she wouldn't. No, orange. So this is such a rare condition. I don't know if we've said that whoever you're talking about,
mm-hmm.
it was probably the first case ever documented, and that was like 2008.
Maybe, because it was a PowerPoint that some, I guess, physician had done, and it showed, she, you know, her face was blacked out, but it showed pictures of like her stained brassiere and t-shirts, mm-hmm. and it was just like, I can't imagine that. I feel awful enough as a sweater.
Right. I mean, you're a sweater plus color.
Yeah, exactly.
Which just fascinates people. You can't fault somebody when they're like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But I'm sure that happens a lot. Like, all you do is explain away, like, oh, I have this weird condition where I sweat orange.
Well, apparently with this nurse that I mentioned, I think she was like 26 or something like that. She spent 5 months wondering what the heck was going on before she went and sought treatment. She had no idea. And I can't imagine sweating something.
Yeah, go right away.
And waiting like 5 months before finally going to a doctor.
Yeah.
For red sweat.
Yeah.
Like, I'm one of those guys who will like put off going to the doctor forever.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But red sweat would get me in there.
Yeah. Have you seen the Gatorade commercial?
Yeah.
Where people sweat colors?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's not what they were. They weren't like, they should have had a tag at the end. To not
like not chrome hydrosis.
Yeah, exactly. To yeah. not offend like the five people in the world that have this.
So, Chuck, we were saying, like, if you come in and your doctor sees that you have, like, blue sweat coming out of your nipples,
mm-hmm.
they're going to think it's apocrine chromhidrosis. You can prove definitively that it is by holding a black light up to the
yeah.
sweat, because the lipofuscins phosphoresce.
And what's
right?
that called? A Woods lamp? I'd never heard that.
Mm-hmm.
I just called it a black light.
Yeah, because, you know, you have a basement.
Yeah, and I went to Spencer Gifts when I was 13.
Right, exactly. Do you have any Woods lamps?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's apocrine chromhidrosis. Acrine chromhidrosis is also equally well explained. It's always a foreign object, like a dye or
yeah.
something that a person's ingested that somehow gets into the acrine sweat glands and then is produced.
Right.
Because the one common thread between these two is that the pigment is produced in the sweat gland.
Yeah, that's important because if you're a miner, a copper miner, sometimes you'll get a mineral mix with the sweat once it leaves the skin and it'll turn it
right.
blue.
Blue for copper, yeah.
Right.
Which is not to be confused with the blue man who took too much some kind of copper, colloidal silver.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what it was.
Wasn't he a senator or something, or a congressman?
Was he really?
One of the guys turned silver.
And this guy was blue. He looked like a blue Santa Claus.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, man.
Yeah, from too much colloidal silver. So, yes, if you have pseudochromhidrosis, it means that you're sweating a normal color, or colorless sweat, but it's reacting with something on your skin to produce.
Yeah, and they say get out of the copper mine and
right.
it'll stop eventually.
Right. Stop rubbing, you know, pigment on yourself.
Right.
With eccrine chromhidrosis, you're producing pigmented sweat and then sweating pigmented sweat, but it's not from lipofuscins, it's from something else. And that nurse that I was talking about that waited 5 years,
mm-hmm.
And I think this was in the mid-90s, or the late-90s, she sweat red. And her physicians took some samples of, you know, her regular sweat,
mm-hmm.
and you know, compared it to the substance they found on her clothes, and said, "Yeah, you've got chromhidrosis, and we think it's eccrine." And
it would have to be because it wasn't yellow, green, blue, black, or brown, right? Well,
yeah, but we know so little about this that
sure.
If somebody presented with a case of red apocrine chromhidrosis, they'd be like, "Oh, okay, well, this is new."
Right, right.
You know. Because they don't understand the mechanism behind either of them. They understand what's going on.
Yeah.
Or they understand how it's happening. Mm-hmm. They don't understand what's going on. They have no idea.
Yeah, and I think this, like, alien hand is one of those where they might be able to find out, but it's so rare, it's not like a lot of funding goes into this
right.
for research.
Right.
So they just treat it.
All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
You know, speaking of alien hand, I found out about this thing. I wrote a blog on it recently about mirror dystonia. And it was like mirror neurons and alien hand mixed together, right? So, like, if you have this, your brain isn't producing proteins, this one specific protein that basically acts as, like, the switch. Like, when you go to pick – I'm going to pick this up with my right hand.
All right.
Right? So, both sides of your brain get the signal, but there's this protein that switches as, like, oh, okay, right hand.
Right.
So, this protein isn't strong enough in people with mirror dystonia, so they go like this.
Really? Pick up something with both hands?
Both hands, yes. Or both – like, if they go to take a step with their right foot, they do it with their left foot, too. So walking's very difficult,
that's a
too.
Jump.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
We'll have to do a full podcast on that, maybe.
There is not enough on it.
All right. Well, that was it, then. The mini-cast.
Yeah. So, eccrine chrome hydrosis, that nurse I was talking about, she was eating some sort of, and I could never find out what.
Oh, I wonder why you didn't list it.
I couldn't.
I thought it was for, like, oh, boy, I can't say it was, right. Like, a Keebler Devil's food cake.
It was tomato based and had paprika, and it was a prepared food that she ate as a snack constantly. So the red tomato paste and the paprika were coloring her sweat, and that's where science is baffled. They have no idea how something
gets into the sweat
can
gland.
Get into your sweat glands.
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. They also don't know why some people overproduce lipofuscins or their fats become overly oxidized until they become lipofuscins.
Well, eccrine is the one that you want, because the treatment for that is to identify the culprit of the foreign food, or not foreign, but this whatever, the food that's discoloring your sweat and discontinuing that food.
Yeah. Okay, like, sorry, lady, you like the paprika stuff? The lady could have been like, you know, hey, to heck with it, I'm going to keep eating this. It's like
Forget
the best
this.
Thing I've ever eaten.
Fudge yeah. that.
Right. So, Chuck, if you, I guess if you're stuck with apocrine chromhidrosis, right? Or you love your tomato paste, paprika flavored,
whatever,
prepared food product, right? That's my novelty throwing disc. Remember that on The Simpsons?
Yeah. Oh, they couldn't call it a frisbee.
Right, yeah. And I don't think we can either.
Sure we can.
If you like it so much that you want to seek treatment, what are some of your treatment options?
There's this substance called capsaicin, which is the key ingredient to pepper spray, and it's and bear spray, and it is from red pepper. It's derived from red pepper itself, isn't it?
Yeah,
like red pepper flakes.
Pretty much.
And it will burn you, I guess, if you spray it in your face. But apparently, as a cream, it can help treat the apricot version.
Right. And we should have said earlier, eccrine sweat glands are triggered by changes in body temperature sensed by the hypothalamus.
Right.
Apocrine sweat glands are triggered by emotion.
Well, that's why I talked about the nerves.
Right.
Yeah.
So there's this neurotransmitter called substance P that apparently is involved with the activation of your apocrine sweat glands, right?
Mm-hmm.
So with capsaicin, for some reason, it blocks the reuptake of substance P,
yeah,
which makes you sweat less.
Yeah, see, mine work in concert, and I think most people that sweat more than usual work in concert, because, like, you get hot, and you're like, oh, crap.
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you're headed to, I mean, if you're not doing anything important, it doesn't matter, but if you're going somewhere, and you're like, oh, man, now I'm sweating,
yeah,
and then the other ones kick in, yep, it's even worse.
Yeah, that used to happen to me in college. Like, I couldn't sit toward the front of the class, because I
really?
Was just too self-conscious, and I'd start to, my scalp would start to tingle a little bit, and I'd be like, is that sweat or are there bugs jumping off my head? And it just hit this vicious cycle.
Are you sure that was going on?
I'm pretty sure.
College, bugs jumping off your head,
yeah,
tingling? Okay.
It could have all been some sort of dream.
I also, it's funny you said tingling, because I don't know if this is true, but I did see one account that said it's sometimes associated with an aura, like a warmth or prickling sensation.
What?
This condition.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Huh.
And that it happens more often in African Americans, and that the youngest age they found it in was an 11-year-old. So.
In apocrine or eccrine?
Both.
Huh.
Just the whole condition period, I think.
I wonder if, like, these additional things, like, you can sense them leaving your skin.
Maybe.
More than
know.
Just sweat or the standard sweat.
And I don't know if associated means it was, like, one of the cases or if everyone across the board said it was kind of hazy.
Yeah. And then we also talked about removing sweat glands is one treatment option for hyperhidrosis and chromhidrosis.
Yeah, and botulinum.
Yeah, Botox. Or,
what does
to
that
be
do?
Fair, Myoblock as well.
Right.
It's a toxin, right? And it affects the neurotransmitters that are involved in sweating as well.
Oh, the other one too, which is a terrible treatment, is to express the glands.
Yeah.
Because it lasts a couple of days and, like, basically sweat it out. But then you got to do that every couple of days.
Or you could just go to the sauna a lot.
Yeah, I imagine that would help.
And wear maybe like a sign around your neck that says, yes, I know I'm sweating blue.
Right. I'm with stupid. Have you ever had to express your dog's anal glands?
No, I haven't. Someone roughly told me, I don't remember who, years ago. And I was like, I'm not doing that. They're like, well, then you have to take your dog to a groomer. I was like, no, I don't.
Yeah, Jerry, ever? No. Have you ever smelled it? Anyone?
Yes.
It is the most distinct, awful smell on the planet.
There's nothing worse.
And it's exactly like when you smell it, you're like, okay, that's anal gland.
Yeah. Well, that's why they rub their bottoms.
Yeah,
they're
yeah.
expressing their own anal glands.
I know. My dogs, they self-express. But you smell it when it happens, and then you see them cleaning themselves, and you're just like, all right, remember, no licks for like a week.
Right.
On me.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sorry, I got sidetracked.
So, yeah. I guess that's it, right?
You got anything else?
Dude, there's so much. I don't on this one. But there's so much sweating stuff. I personally can tell you quite a bit about sweating, sweat glands, zits, all that stuff. I spent like a couple of months just writing about this stuff for a while. And this article came out of it.
I wonder if I never got zits because I sweat so much. I wonder if that helps keep my pores clean or something.
I don't know. All right, game off. Let's pause here to talk more about Monopoly Go. Because in Monopoly Go, you can team up with your friends for timed tournaments where you work together to build up each other's boards. It's very nice.
That's right. And the more you win together, the more awesome prizes you unlock. And there's so much to get. I'm talking about unique stickers that you can trade with friends to complete albums for big prizes, cool new playing pieces to travel the boards with, or hilarious emojis for taunting friends when you smash their buildings or heist their vaults.
Plus, Monopoly Go feels new and exciting every day with constantly changing tournaments and challenges, like digging for treasure or a robot pachinko machine. And there's always new timed events that help you win big, like massive multipliers for everything you win or rent frenzies.
That's right. There's always something fun to discover in Monopoly Go. So get off the bench and go download it now for free on Google Play or the App Store. Game on.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
It also has to do with oil on the skin, and I think you're, like my family, none of us really got it, so I think it's hereditary to a certain degree too, right?
Yeah, and I think it also has to do with the degree of how sensitive your skin is.
Right.
Well, anyway, if you want to learn about that kind of stuff and sweating and read my article on chromhidrosis, type sweat into the search bar at howstuffworks.com, and it'll bring up a ton of stuff.
We should do one on acne.
Okay.
That's a big one.
Yeah. I'll bet some of our pubescent listeners would appreciate that one.
Heck
huh?
Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I said, am I right? So that means it's time for listener mail.
Yeah, this is someone who's correcting us, and I'm just not quite sure how right she is, so we're going to discuss it. Hey guys, I'm a fairly new fan of your show, but I really enjoy every episode. I'm dying to go back and listen to the older ones, but there are so many that it's taking some time.
Mm-hmm.
That's true. I just listened to the recent one about America's First Murderer. It was great. At the beginning, though, I think you may have confused or lumped together Puritans and Pilgrims. Pilgrims that came to Plymouth Rock in 1620 were actually separatists.
Right.
Because they wanted to completely break away from the Church of England, whereas the large group that settled in Massachusetts, like 10 years later, was Puritan. They wanted to purify, reform the Church of England, not break away. The Puritans and separatists had some different philosophies and beliefs, so I think it's important to make that distinction. I am a history nerd, so I think those details are cool. Please let me know if I misheard or if I don't have my facts straight. Thank you, Rachel.
I'm a history nerd, too.
Yes.
And I don't know the answer to that one.
I looked it up, and I got a little confused, to be honest, because it was a little bit like that rectangle or square thing. Like, I think some of the separatists, or some of the Puritans were separatists, but not necessarily the other way around or something.
Mm-hmm.
Or pilgrim. I don't know. I got confused.
Oh, so you're saying some of the pilgrims were separatists, but not all separatists were pilgrims? One of those kind of things?
I think so, but I mean,
I could see it. That explains why there is the word separatists and the word Puritans.
Yeah.
And I'm sure it describes the same group. I think I would argue, though, that it matters so little at this point that lump them together.
She's saying that there were no Puritan pilgrims.
Okay. And well, we'll find out.
We'll either find out, someone will set us straight that really knows it, or we will just say, Rachel, thank you for the correction.
Yeah.
Either way.
I'm going to go look.
Okay.
I can't let this rest.
Let me know.
Even if it doesn't matter any longer, I still need to know.
And it's not like I didn't care. I did look, but we're busy, you know. I didn't have quite enough time to fully research it.
Well, okay. If you have an amazing historical fact that's been lost to the ages of time that you want to tell us about, we're very interested in that kind of stuff. Right?
Right.
Send us an email. You totally should. You can address it to stuffpodcast@howstuffworks.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Childproofing people's homes is hard. But Duracell is making it just a bit simpler. Not only are they committed to educating parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of battery safety, they make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them. Duracell even features child-secure packaging designed to avoid accidental opening. Learn more at Duracell.com/powersafely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
Life in our modern age comes at you pretty fast, which makes our time away especially valuable. When I take time to relax, I like to get far from my everyday life, immerse myself in natural beauty, and have unique experiences. But you don't have to leave the U.S. to experience tropical rainforests and islands filled with adventure, warm culture, and national treasures. Visit Puerto Rico, an island with a vibrant spirit that will sweep you away. Because when you visit, you don't become part of the island, it becomes part of you. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. Puerto Rico, where visits end, but stories last forever. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com.